Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. We're joined by Leon Kurtz, the CEO of Jubilee Metals. Welcome back, Leon. It's been a while.
It certainly has been a while. Thank you.
How's things? Okay?
Yes, very much so. I mean, there's a lot happening, of course, that there always are. We are trying to push to close quite a number of projects, try and show the world why we're in Zambia and why we're in copper.
Very good. Yeah, so obviously you recently released an updated corporate presentation, which we'll cover in more detail later. Since you were last on the podcast, the company announced the award of the large Mufulira Slag project in a joint venture with Mopani Copper Mines. This project involves processing approximately 13 million tons of historical slag containing an estimated 0.7% copper and 0.27% cobalt. Jubilee is exclusively appointed to design, implement, and operate the new processing facility. Sounds like a JV with great potential, Leon.
It certainly is. You know, where this fits into, and maybe just take a quick step back, when we look at Zambia and look at copper and what we're trying to achieve there are these two asset classes. On the one side, there's waste rock, which is material that never been processed before, lying on surface, many hundreds of millions of tons of these, which we are pursuing. On the other side is this waste that's been created from previously mined material that's been processed and then left into various stockpiles and tailing dams. Now, the premier, the top end of that waste or those tailings would be Mufulira slag. It is the top end of value within that portfolio. It's why the grades are so tremendously high. It's why we pursued that project so aggressively. We were one of many companies trying to secure that project with a company such as Mopani, which is one of the biggest copper producers in Zambia, of course. And that's the significance of this project. On the one side, it sounds modest, the size of the slag material, but remember that there's continuously slag being added. But if you put into context the grade, the actual content of copper and cobalt in this material, you know, the quantity of copper or the content of copper is greater than many, many, many copper mines out there.
Yeah, Leon, give us the history behind that. Why is the slag so high in copper content? Is it because the copper itself from the original mine was very, very high, and they basically had a huge cutoff that there was, like, if it wasn't easy to get, they didn't bother? Or is there some sort of system that you put in place to get the copper out that wasn't available before?
Yeah, copper, this material was created from the smelting of copper. When they put it through their furnaces have gone through various technological changes over the years. So to Mopani has implemented different type of furnace technologies over the years. So although we speak of the Mufulira slag as a single body of waste, it actually is two fundamentally different types of waste that has been produced by the types of furnaces. And the old furnaces weren't as efficient nor as efficiently operated as today. So you had a lot of copper and cobalt carryover into the slag and into its waste that is on surface in Zambia.
And what sort of grades are we talking about in the slag?
Well, you're talking about copper that nearly touches 0.8% of copper. You know, for copper mines at 0.6%, this is 0.8 on surface. But more significant than that is it's cobalt that runs at nearly 0.4% cobalt. That is on par in cobalt grades that you find in the DRC. This is highly valuable stuff and that's lying on surface. It does require a specific extraction technique. It's why it's been lying dormant for so many years within Mopani, hoping that a company like us would come along that can develop a process to extract that copper and cobalt. This is not similar to some of the other slag materials in Zambia. It's a very different style or type of slag because of the processes that was used to create it. And that's really why Jubilee was successful in partnering with Mopani to implement and develop this project.
And how big is Mopani?
Oh, Mopani is huge. I mean, Mopani is the ultimate capacity, you know, at a stretch, at its nameplate capacity can produce nearly 280,000 tons of copper per annum. This is a very large copper mine in Zambia, one of the premier assets within government of Zambia. For people just out of interest, Mopani currently is going through a sale process after Glencore withdrew out of Zambia and sold the asset to government. That asset, Mopani, is currently completing its process of being sold to a new investor. Whether they came out to the news couple of months back with the key top three companies bidding to secure that asset, and that includes some of the world's biggest mining companies bidding for that Mopani asset.
And how quickly, because obviously I think the agreement is going to start effective immediately, but how quickly will potential listeners and shareholders see news announcement as that, you know, the JV progresses?
Yeah, I mean, for us, the key next step of that JV, there's two components to it. The one is our project engineers are already on site, working very closely with Mopani in the design and strategy of how to implement. We are holding back the news flow on the finality of the project, on timelines, capital. We'll be implementing it through a phase system to really get to cash or cash production quickly. But that really is being held with the announcement of who the new owners of Mopani will be, which we've been informed by government is really very, very soon. Government is pushing to have that announcement out before they close for this calendar year. So we are expecting that news flow relatively soon out of government.
Okay, well, let's move on to, as we mentioned, the new company presentation for November. Obviously, Jubilee founded over 20 years ago, listed on AIM. The Jubilee Way, which we've heard you refer to before, constantly striving to better operational efficiencies by challenging industry norms. And then there are effectively three pillars of the business, the South African chrome, the South African PGM production, and also the Zambian copper production. Do you want to just take us through where you are now, as opposed to, you know, where you started and the progress you've made today in terms of amount of tonnage of concentrates produced in the various different pillars?
No, absolutely. I mean, you're so right. Back in 2004, the company had a very different vision to when I was asked in 2010, 11, 12 to redesign this company into an operating company. And at its core is process excellence that drives our future. We started life in South Africa where we pursued processing those chrome reefs that was discarded by industry or left either in situ in open pit or into waste dumps. We started production in 2017, and by 2018, we produced a modest 40,000 tons of chrome concentrate for that year. Today, we are targeting to produce north of 1.3 million tons of chrome concentrate, making us one of the biggest. All of that coming from reefs people had discarded. We have told the market that we are targeting to increase our chrome production to nearly 2 million tons of chrome concentrate per annum, which will make us the biggest of what we do. All of that with material being discarded by the industry. That ability to extract that chrome so efficiently out of those reefs is what drove the strategy into copper. Just to explain, in a South African pillar, of course, chrome is central. It is a very large company producing an enormous amount of chrome concentrate. Its discard is what we refine and recover the PGMs from. So as we grow chrome, naturally the PGM grows alongside that. It makes our PGM business very robust because it processes the discard from our own operations at the moment. And even though PGMs have dropped significantly in market value, our PGMs remain very profitable. We are also fortunate in that the expansion of our chrome business has come and has evolved over time, where we started life by processing or toll processing other people's material. Today, we're growing more and more processing our own material. It means our margin we make in chrome has grown significantly, and that comfortably offsets the potential drop in your PGM earnings as your platinum market is under pressure at the moment. So very worthwhile to be diversified in these two integrated operating arms.
I wish people, Leon, would have the vision that we had in our head when we went to see the place, because it's very easy to understand, having been there, that you have this massive chrome processing, and then obviously the stuff then goes on to the PGMs. And what I took from your presentation was that you're now starting to section these as well, in the same way as you're going to section for the copper. But yes. I suppose my question is, if it looks like from 5 years ago, you have increased your production by 30 times, okay, in terms of the chrome and the PGM. Do you anticipate, and if you go for the 2 million, it's going to be 50 times what you had, the 40,000 tons initially. Do you envisage that that is at all possible in Zambia in terms of this process of, you know, a plant here, a plant here, a plant here, a plant here, because they're not huge, monstrous things that you have to build now. They're sections.
Fundamentally, you've put your finger on the button. There is that is fundamental to the growth. As you said, it's modular. If we look at South Africa, yes, 1.2 and 2 million tons is a very large number, but it breaks down into 10 modular units, which are a replica of one another. So the operability is simplified. The ability to run them efficiently is made simpler. Our reliance on infrastructure, large central infrastructure of power, water, etc., is broken because we are modular and diversified. That's exactly what we're taking into copper. For us, our ability to now grow exponentially on our copper with every process module rolling into the copper opportunity is what will drive that multiplication of expansion. It is the first time we are able to see so clearly the path of achieving our numbers of 25,000 tons and well beyond of copper per annum, because it simply means as we secure more resources, more assets on which we deploy our process modules, we can start implementing and rolling out and replicating these process modules into copper. We had to go and back to the drawing board in 2022 and 2023 to see how do we design our copper implementation strategy to be less reliant on the availability of significant infrastructure to carry a large operating footprint. And the answer lies into breaking up your process into these modules, which you place at the source. And therefore, as we chase our numbers, what shareholders should be looking for is the security of those assets and the size of those resources that we secure, which is able to carry four, five, six modules at a time on these resources in copper in Zambia.
So I suppose the question I pose is, a year ago or thereabouts, we were having the conversation that and as we picked you as a stock for 2023, that we anticipated that you had the potential to be a £1 billion company, okay? Now, quite obviously, that hasn't happened in 2023. In fact, the share price has actually slid back maybe 50% or more. So what sort of situation do you perceive has caused that? And secondly, what's going to happen in 2024? And we need a crystal ball.
Excellent. I mean, I think what really drove, as you said, partly beyond the negativity in the world and the global aspects, I think we're looking at Jubilee as a company is the belief of achieving our copper strategy. There was doubt in that belief. And that doubt was based on our ability to actually deliver the copper. It linked internally into our ability to deploy an operating footprint within a region or within a jurisdiction that has got such limited infrastructure. And that really was a challenge for our engineers to rethink. How do we achieve that expansion without the ability or the shackles of limited infrastructure? Now, what has changed and what we look for 2024 is the ability to roll out these modules. Our modules run below a megawatt of power per module. Each module produces nearly 3,000 tons of copper cathode. So as we put down four or five of these modules down, we easily start ramping up beyond our copper numbers. If we were to secure a waste rock resource of 100 million tons, we can put four modules on a single such waste rock dump. And that's been the target of our company, is to secure these resources. We have our module designed, we have them operating, we have them tested. The first is going in at Project Rowan. There'll be a second and third and a fourth very close on its heels as we roll that into Zambia. And that will bring back the belief and the understanding of how we are able to implement something so new to the copper industry within a jurisdiction with limited power and water.
So how many of these processing modules do you think you're likely to be able to have at Mufulira?
Well, Mufulira alone, at the size of Mufulira, will probably have three of them, of these process modules. And the key would be to look at Project M, as we called it, the one we have signed as well in Zambia. That will have another such process module. Coincidentally, Project M is an area where this waste that is there, which we now own, is surrounded by three further such opportunities. So there's the potential that one module can become three modules around M. And we are pursuing and in quite advanced discussions to secure yet another exceptionally large surface waste rock material perfectly suited for our modules, waste asset alone will carry three or four modules. So you can see that if you start adding up, we're speaking of 10, 12 modules actually speaking of, you know, the ability to grow to 30, 35, 40,000 tons of copper as you roll out these modules. And that's the key to delivering our copper strategy in Zambia. It's no longer reliant on a single large operating footprint, which will wait years for that power infrastructure to be sufficient to carry that operating footprint.
And do you, if you got to, let's say, 10 by the end of next year or early into 2025, have you got the cathode ability to actually process that much copper concentrate or not?
So we have the ability to process up to 14,000 tons of cathode. We have the ability to process that, but we're not limited by our own ability to process cathode. Zambia has ample cathode refining capacity standing across Zambia because of its history. As we said in our one presentation, there's more than nearly 80,000 tons of current unutilized refining capacity in Zambia. So cathode production certainly won't limit our numbers. Our own ability to produce our own cathode runs out at 14,000 tons per annum of cathode. But thereafter, there's a lot of capacity available to either toll refine your concentrate.
And is there an opportunity to expand Kabwe in that from 14,000, or is that just something you don't think is feasible?
No, it's not that we don't think it's feasible, but it's certainly something we'll look at. There are many opportunities in Zambia to either expand Kabwe or acquire another brownfields refining operation, as we did with Kabwe, and refurbish that and bring that into your portfolio as well. There's many such opportunities available in Zambia, and expanding your cathode at Kabwe will depend whether it is the suitable place with sufficient power to expand into. Infrastructure is the key where you expand your refinery capacity.
Just for listeners, what sort of percentage? Okay, so you're obviously not mining this stuff. There's no cost to get it out the ground. It's there. You've got to put the processing module in place, and then you have the copper concentrate. So what sort of percentage of the sort of LME copper price does Jubilee end up with at the end of all of this process?
Well, when we make our cathode, we end up with 100% of LME. In fact, we get 100% of LME plus a couple of $100 premium because of the quality we make. So we sell our copper cathode at full LME pricing. There's no discount LME pricing at all. The only component of our products we sell at below LME are what we call acid insoluble or copper sulfide concentrates, which we don't refine. That we sell into the market while the rest we produce cathode from. Your sulfide concentrates, we're selling to the market for nearly 80% of LME. So that's sort of the exposure we have to full LME and copper value.
But I suppose the question I was posing is, what sort of profit margin have you got on the process, if you like? So yeah, okay, great. We're getting LME plus, which is fantastic. But we're putting a module in place. We are processing the copper to get a concentrate. We're taking it to the cathode scenario. We're making the copper. We're getting the copper at above LME. So all of that obviously incurs costs. But what sort of percentage of the LME costs does Jubilee aim to achieve?
Sure. So you can see in our numbers at current low productions where you're carrying the full overhead of your refinery, where you're producing at roughly $5,200 a ton. As you step up your production, we drop to below 5,000, and you know, with four modules running, we'll probably be down at the very low $4,000 a ton of copper production cost. So you're retaining at that level nearly 45% of LME as your margin.
Okay, so if you were to go to the 10 modules and you had 30,000 tons a year coming through this process, and hopefully more based on what you're saying, but let's assume that's what it is, you could make 45 to 50% of LME on the cathode stuff, and the concentrate that you would sell into the market, is the margin falling a bit on that because basically someone else has got to make a profit on that?
Yeah, very much so. If your margin then comes down to about a 35 to 37% margin. So if you're at your numbers at 30,000 tons of copper, you're into the $150, $180 million odd dollars profit alone for your copper industry, excluding what you do in chrome and PGMs in South Africa. So you can see how the copper operation, as we've told the market, has the ability to not only catch but exceed the earnings potential out of South Africa very rapidly.
But that means that the profit or the net revenue, whether it's profit or not, is debatable, but is actually greater than your current market capitalization. So how do you work that one out? Because, I mean, basically, by the end of next year, mid-2025, you could be in a situation where you have $250 million-plus dollars of EBITDA.
Yeah, I mean, I think the share price will reflect our value as the belief returns on the delivery of our copper strategy. And that's what we're working really hard on to show. I think the shareholders, our investors, even our key institutional investors, are eager to see that copper strategy just even in the initial implementation phase, because it starts showing how our ability, as with chrome, where we can take 40,000 into 1.2 million tons, how we've entered on the same growth path for copper. And as per chrome, our current modules, we have 8 operating. We started with 1, and that's what drove our growth in chrome. We look the same for copper, where we're starting with 2, and we'll take that up to 5 and 10 modules in time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a dreaming man, how big can the copper be in Zambia? I mean, how many of these units do you think you could actually scale up to based on what you know about?
The critical component there is to secure as big a portion of this market before we educate the industry on the capability and how we do it. At the moment, our modules are unique. How we extract the copper is different. That's why these assets are left as valueless or very difficult to recover. It's driven by how much of this opportunity we can secure. We as Jubilee, we believe we can secure north of 600 million tons of material available to us. To put that in perspective, if that runs at 1%, you're speaking of 6 million tons of copper available to Jubilee to recover. At that level, you can carry comfortably 10 to 12 modules, each producing 3,000 tons of, or 3,500 tons of cathode. That's the size of the prize that we are able to chase very quickly. I mean, in Zambia, we have more than 1 billion tons of material at surface on the waste rock. That excludes the processed tailings, which is the Mufulira slags and the various other tailings. That's purely the waste rock that's located on surface, rejected by industry because of the type of copper it contains.
But 16 of these would produce roughly 50,000 tons a year. Based on the figures you're talking about, that would be a 20-year process to actually even get to those without discovering any more of the slack that was coming off. So,
and that excludes, exactly.
It's huge.
No, it's massive. I mean, it's that messaging for the industry and for the market to understand the sheer magnitude of the opportunity we've been able to unlock through our development center on the how to extract this copper out of this material. It is a significant opportunity. And here we're only speaking of one jurisdiction. We're only speaking of Zambia. We're not even looking at other jurisdictions or other copper jurisdictions as yet.
So Leon, if you had a 50,000 ton per annum copper mine, okay, producing 50,000 tons of this stuff, how much would it be worth on the market today with the way that copper is?
Oh, you'd be more than a $1 billion company comfortably at that rate, because not only is it 50,000 tons of copper, it's for 50,000 tons of copper at surface. It's 50,000 tons of copper not exposed to geological uncertainties, because we are able to sample this material at surface as much as we please. It's 50,000 tons that are in a diversified footprint, not reliant on a single failure of infrastructure. So the value component is enormous. It's 50,000 tons of copper that's made out of waste rock that we are constantly environmentally rehabilitating as opposed to our processing facilities. There are so many components to this 50,000 tons. Not only is it quantum, but it's also unique 50,000 tons.
Very good. Listen, we look forward to it. We've planned our visit to come to Zambia, I think, after the rainy season in March, April time. And we look forward to meeting you then and discussing and maybe visiting Rowan and some of the other places that...
Seeing how things have progressed in a year, which I'm sure we'll see some big changes.
Yep, absolutely.
It'd be wonderful to host you at one of our process modules so that we can actually do our interview there so people can see how compact they are and how they operate.
Yep, great.
Very good. Leon Kurtzer, CEO of Jubilee Metals, thanks very much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.